Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Selena with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your peace. Now, our host, Selena.
Good evening, late evening, everyone. This is Selena with Say Your Peace on Blog Talk Radio. And I have my co-host, Mr. Brian Coleman. Are you out there, Brian?
I'm here, Selena. How are you this evening?
All right. How's everything going with you?
Doing good. Doing good. It's been a hectic day, but we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. I'm tired, but we're going to make it work. We're going to make things exciting.
What happened? You had a lot of stuff to do today?
Did some manual work today.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
They don't do it and everything, but I had to roll up the sleeves and just get wet.
Wet. You had to do it. You had to just break it on down and do it, huh?
It's all good. Yeah, break it on down. Didn't have my son with me today, so I had to put it by myself.
Ah, okay. Today was a beautiful day, too. I noticed the weather was gorgeous out, and I didn't even go outside and go to nowhere. Well, I went back and forth outside, but that was it. Other than that, I was sitting here doing homework and trying to get everything ready. You know, we have so much exciting news. I mean, you guys, if you're out there listening, you guys, me and Brian Coleman, we go way, way back. We used to be schoolmates, and I left. He stayed, had a family. I left and went off and did my thing in the military, and I finally, 16, 17 years later, I came back and settled here. And where did we meet at, Brian? Where did we meet back up at?
A voters registration rally.
Exactly. Sure did. And we've been talking ever since.
Yeah, I've been talking ever since. Didn't even know you were back in town.
No, I have been, yeah. I have, actually, you know what? I have been back here going on 12, 13 years since I left those other 16 years ago. So I had been back a good while, got married.
Had cross paths.
No, that's exactly what it is. And not we don't even live that far away from each other either. Isn't that something? But we had opportunity to meet back up again, and we have been just off the chain ever since. It's like an explosion, and I am so happy that I had an opportunity to meet him.
And we started had the chance to talk and come to find out we had a lot
like
of
the same
common, like minds, think alike. And so I said, wow, I got somebody. I thought I was out here by myself.
I'm here. Also, we want to tell you, also, you guys, we also have another show that we're on. Actually, it's Brian's show. It's called Keeping You Connected on KTTP 1110 AM. It's in Alexandria, but you can also get it online every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 o'clock in the morning from 10 to 11. And it's on www.kttp.com. 1110am.com, so you can catch us also in the morning. So I hope you guys don't ever get tired of hearing us talking, because I'm hoping the knowledge that we're relaying to you is something that you can use somewhere in your life. Awesome, we on here, and then also I have another radio show called Lily's Author Showcase, and it's on an opposite station. It's on 88.1 FM. Excuse me. And I'm on every Friday evening from 5 to 6. And what we do is we showcase authors from all over the place. And right now I'm just like on cloud 9 from the information and the feedback that I am getting from the show and the way that we're moving, expanding, and having a person. What's good about that is having a person who is like-minded. Like you said, it's nothing like having a like-minded person around you who's not jealous of you or who's not using you, but we're doing it together. And I have that on that station with Tanya Wiley Riley Wilson, and she has the she's actually been spearheading a lot of stuff that I do, and I told her I might have to make her the manager since she's doing all this. She's doing all the connections for me on that end. I'm excited. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to get things started. I'm ready for this Blog Talk Radio show to just blow away, to explode. And I like what happened last Saturday, but we're going to have to lay down some rules this Saturday. This Saturday, you guys, come on, call in at 347-677-1749, and we're going to be talking about Black Unity tonight. But I want to say this real quick. We got 90 minutes, so I can talk as long as I want to. I want to say this. When you call in, I'm only going to put you on when somebody else is not speaking, because last week we ran into a little problem, and we don't want that to happen this time. Not to say that I don't want you talking or saying what you have to say. Just that we didn't. I kind of opened up all the lines to everybody, and I just let everybody rip, go at it. I don't want to do that anymore. And that was, you know, that was a trial basis for me. But well, I don't want that to happen again.
The family reunion was family confusion. Huh?
Yes, exactly. It sure was. You're right. It sure was. So tonight we're going to do it a little different. When you pop up, and if we're not talking, if Brian's not talking, I'm not talking, then I'll let you come in. I think that would be a better way to do it that way. So, Brian, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I would just like to, if we could kick it off.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a grave concern when it comes to Black people, Black community worldwide, whether it's within the states, outside the states, in local communities, states, supporting each other.
Okay.
Coming
all
together
right.
on one accord, putting aside our petty differences,
mm-hmm.
what religion you are. I think I have something better than you. What my teachings is better than your teachings. Your skin is darker than my skin.
Mm-hmm.
Your ice is colder than your ass is not colder than my ice. I mean,
mm-hmm.
whatever little reason
mm-hmm.
we can find to come up with to cause division is just like we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Other group that I see, ethnic group, comes out with the type of things that we use to divide us. It was done on us years ago, and it's still working today, divide
mm-hmm.
and conquer.
Yes, divide and conquer. Well, I think with that, I think we really haven't, I don't want to say this in a derogatory way, but we haven't evolved. We have not evolved, and it's crazy because it's a generational mis-evolvement, if you can say that. We haven't all moved on out of that, what we call a slave mentality type attitude. And it's hurting us. And you know what? It's hurting us more now than it did before because of what's going on in the politics and, you know, the ideal that, you know, we feel like we're being left out. We feel like because we have an African-American president that we're being left out. So what do, we keep that crab in a barrel mentality continually, constantly, over and over again, instead of me grabbing onto your hand and say, hey, Brian, you know what? I got an idea. Let's do this together. If it don't work out, we won't part not talking to each other or being angry at each other or trying to always do something vindictive toward each other because we just didn't agree with that certain situation. We need to stop that. I think it's killing us. It is choking us.
And you know, one other thing, Salita, is, you know, if I have a disagreement with you,
mm-hmm.
have a disagreement with someone that's connected to you,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it's time out to put all our business out in the street.
Exactly.
I mean, we should be grown enough, folks, adult enough, mature enough,
mm-hmm.
have enough sense to, if you have a problem, let's talk it out behind closed doors. Let's not air out all our laundry to the world.
Exactly.
What other group of people do you see getting mad at their own and going and supporting other groups while their own suffer.
Exactly.
While their own have the worst health care rates, while their own have the worst employment rates, while their own have the worst. We're at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to
everything
but sports.
We excel in that, but everything but
everything
Brian,
but that.
Brian, we have a listener. I'm getting ready to let them in, and I want them to give me their name.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yo,
how you doing?
Okay. My name is Jared. I'm calling from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Jared. Okay. All right.
How you doing?
Well, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Great. I thought I'd tune into something positive tonight, and I caught not even the first 10 minutes of your show, and I think your topic is very important. And just from the little bit I heard, I just want to contribute this.
Mm-hmm.
I think those of us in our demographic group in this country who understand that we have things we have not realized, I think we should realize that many of our people don't know that the way we behave towards each other is not an appropriate way.
Yes, I totally agree.
And so therefore, they're not, most of our people, I would dare say, from the time they wake up, well, let's say from the time they come out of their mother's womb 24/7 until the time their eyes close for good when they die 24/7, have not, through our institutions, which is the family, the church, what we got left of schools, we're not being instructed like other ethnic groups have built in within their cultural behavior towards each other that, hey, this is what we must do. My point is, I think that we have been, we say slave mentality, we say crab in the barrel, but I'm beginning to see that I think the appropriate identification would be we're just confused. We're
confused.
Told this information. We're told this information most of our lives, and we're trying to live our lives from a false premise.
But, okay, I totally agree with you on that, Mr. Jarrett. But what about if you have someone who's willing to take their time out and teach you the correct way? Are you willing to learn, or you think you're too far gone that you don't want to learn and you're satisfied and comfortable in your situation?
I think it goes back to there is no established, quote-unquote, anti-propaganda program among our people. So even when our people are being aided by those who are trying to lead them out of the darkness, there, for the most of the time of the day, there's nothing there to say, hey, this is appropriate. Now, what I'm going to say this and I'm going to listen for the rest. This is the solution I think we should consider.
Okay, go ahead.
Those of us in our demographic group who feel that we shall biologically exist should be the ones to first decide to do something. Because you're going to have a lot of people who look like us, who are biohistorically from the same experience, but their psychosocial disposition is no different than white people.
We're
not going to be able to try to convert them and have time with them at all.
Exactly.
But those who say, look, we have a right to biologically, and see, that's the key word, biologically exist, because see, there's nothing guaranteeing that we're going to be here forever.
That's right.
You see, so those of us who think that African people should biologically exist on the planet and not be dominated by another group, we're going to move this other part. Now they got that part. Here go the next part.
Okay.
Now we must develop a code of conduct and a body of ethics on how we relate to each other. In other words, the rule number one, we cannot hurt each other in whatever we're trying to do. And
okay.
I think that's the key part. Once we develop a, because see, even white supremacists, the people who actually rule and make the rules and steal public money, they have rules among themselves. They follow among themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to come up with the subprime scheme. I'm gonna be an attorney. I'm not gonna say nothing.
Yeah.
So we have to have rules among ourselves. Say, look, I'm not gonna hurt you when we talk about creating an economic system. I'm not gonna steal from you. And I think this, in my opinion, is what we're lacking among ourselves: a code of conduct and a body of ethics around how we move around each other.
Yep. I like that. I really like that. Okay, you gave me one rule. Give me another rule.
Okay, once we have the intention. What's the intention? The intention that we live, that we don't get exterminated. That's our intention.
Okay.
That means that the things we're doing now that is contributing towards our vulnerability, we must change our behavior, number one.
Okay.
Well, number one is the intention. The intention is to remain here, to stay, to stay biologically in existence and not be dominated. Because it's not just the typical white American that seeks to dominate us, but it's the Koreans, the Vietnamese, the various Arab groups who also seek to partner with, and not just in the United States, but on the planet.
Yeah.
So we have to say we are not here to be anybody's slave and to be anybody's butthole to be exploited.
Exactly.
That should be our first intention. Then we organize around our intention, meaning whether we establish an economic program, an educational program, a information distribution program, whatever we do, it must be centered around the intention that we're not going to let nobody control and exploit us. Because what is the opposite of that? White supremacy says whatever we do, we're going to control and dominate other people.
Exactly, yeah.
So even if it's a religious, humanitarian front, okay, we're going to be in control. Because in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, you had all of these groups coming in to help people gut their homes and clean up everything. And there were a lot of black people did this. But the image that was fostered in front of the media was these whites coming down to be the saviors of these blacks. And all of that is in partnership with their dominating intention. And so I think once we have an intent, once we have an intention established, okay, once we set a body of rules, a code of conduct among us, see that way we identify where we start squabbling with each other at. We identify the squabble, we can sit down and say, look, we know throughout our historical past in North America, we've had these squabbles and we've created denominations and we split denominations and then we've had churches within the denominations and then those churches split. Hey, let's try to figure out what the cause of this. See, once we start talking like that,
exactly.
And then we start, here go the key question to have a whole conference on. How has this experience in America being dominated by whites impaired us psychologically?
It has. It's like being in war.
Well, when you bring up that aspect of it, we know it has affected us greatly to the negative. Because when you have a people that you strip them of their name, you strip them of their religion, you strip them of their native tongue, you strip them basically of anything that they could possibly connect to that gives them any kind of identity, and you've taken another people and basically taught them how to be a nice servant. And that's a nice word to use. But basically they've taught us how to serve them and how to put ourselves on, not the back burner, but to bury us.
Yeah.
We buried the original black man and woman who was brought here on the Santa Maria, the Jesus, and all the rest of those slave ships were buried. They couldn't, they were forbidden from doing anything or teaching their offspring anything that had any connection with their with the motherland or with their ability to teach anything from home. And so when you take all of that away and you give them something foreign that's not a part of them, then you change their whole mindset, their whole concept. There are those who said, I'm for all people. Well, if just go back to your family, your household.
Mm-hmm.
Who
mm-hmm.
goes outside of their house and do for anything outside of their house before they take care of home?
Mm-hmm.
The black
yeah.
outside our home is an extension of our home. Only after you can extend from your home to outside of your home to your fellow black man, then can you go otherwise. If you hadn't taken care of home and your own community, then you need to be concentrated. You don't have time to go and reach into the white community, Vietnamese community, the Japanese community, any of those other communities. You have to take care of home first, and outside of your house, the black community is an extension of your home. So I think.
But you have to understand too, Brian. A lot of those cultures take care of themselves. It's inbred in them. It is born in them to take care of them, their own culture, their own communities. They're not going to come outside their community because their community is going to be taking they're going to take care of themselves first.
But
we have learned to be a servant for everybody. That's the point.
Right, right.
We have been taught to be a servant for everybody, okay, instead of just being a servant for our people to build our community up. We've been learned through generation being slaves. Who did we slave? Who were we slave for? We were slave for everybody else.
Right.
We weren't
right.
slave for our own people. We were slave for everybody else. So whenever you hear people holler, well, you know, when it comes to anything, we were talking about that on the other show, me and Brian, when you say, when they want to do something for us instead of doing it just for us, why don't we be diversified? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why should we be diversified? They are not diversified because they're going to make sure all their people is taken care of. But we don't. We don't.
You know.
Go ahead.
You know what's the sad side here in New Orleans is if you just walk into I don't know where you guys are calling from, but here in
We're not far. We're in Alexandria and Pineville.
Oh, okay. I have a cousin who's here in Pineville. Okay.
We're on the home team.
Okay. Well, you know what's sad here in New Orleans is most of your gas station convenience stores, okay, the gas stations are mostly owned by the Palestinians.
Exactly.
And the Vietnamese have some convenience stores, and they have the nail shops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Koreans, of course, have the beauty supply. Now, what's sad is when you just go and observe our people every day, because I usually don't go in them, and just watch how people walk in happy, content, speaking to the Vietnamese or the Arab, hey, Joe, hey, Abdul, no type of second thought about what they're doing. And my point is, like you said, we, in a sense, we have been kind of socialized to seek refuge under other people's guardianship and protection and to provide services for us.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's why I tell people, Democrat and Republican, there's no difference between the two. Society has been set up to keep us dependent. If you wanted to do right by black people for a wrong that has been committed by them, the first thing you have to do is we have to go and deprogram what we program.
That's right.
I don't want people to think I'm comparing us to dogs, but it's the best analogy I can think of. Is I can take what we call, y'all know in Louisiana, a coon dog, right?
Cattle coon hound or black and tan.
And I can take that coon dog and he can hunt as bad as he wants. He can hunt for his master, but catch that coon and won't eat that coon. He'll bring him to that master. He can have I could take that puppy and raise it up in my house.
Mm-hmm.
He may have a tendency of having the nature of hunting, but guess what? He's now a house dog and I raise him.
Right.
I raise and I teach him that I provide for you. I bathe you.
Mm-hmm.
I do medical care for you.
Mm-hmm.
I give you shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I take care of you year in, year out. And 10 years later, I decide I'm going to let this coon dog loose. What is he going to do?
He come back home
at my back door, waiting for me to feed him, waiting for me to give shelter for him. The same thing. Why? Because I just let him go. I didn't train him how to take care of himself or how to hunt. I took that out of him. And that's basically what. And then when I say I'm gonna do a program for you, Ms. Coondall, every day I'm gonna feed you a meal every day. That's welfare. I'm gonna give you these food stamps every day, and you can you're gonna eat off of this every day for the rest of your life. It's only gonna be so much till you get the cheapest food there is, and not really healthy, but you'll be able to eat. Thank you, Master. And that, think about us. That's what we do.
Yeah, you're right.
Self, we're Coondall.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you want to. You don't want to say it like that, but it's the truth.
Right.
But because we've been, and this is not just one generation, this is generational. Okay, it's out. I mean, it's so many of us have, you know, come from great 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 grandmother, great 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 great, and it goes on and up until today. And so much of it's so many of us. We don't want, like us, we don't want to fall into that, and we're fighting it every. But you can't fight it alone. That's the whole point. You only
and
can fight so
make
much
sure
of the
we
Bible.
Give that number out again. It's 347. 677-1749 for anyone who'd like to definitely call in and get in on this conversation.
Let me add also. I want to. I just made 43 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. One of the things I've always been an astute listener at the feet of my elders in my family. And on one side of my family, we come out of Mansfield, Louisiana, in DeSoto Parish. That's up below Shreveport off of 49, if you go up 49.
Right.
And my great-great-great-grandfather, as it was shared with me, there was a plantation that white lady could no longer afford, and so my great-great-great-grandfather worked to purchase 400 acres of that plantation. Then some of his children, one being my great-great-grandfather, they acquired another 600 acres. Now, my uncles and them would always talk about how along that highway, that was, I think, 84, they called King's Highway, like it goes to the Texas border. He was talking about how most of the blacks along that highway owned the land. What he was sharing with me was, because he was my great-grandfather's brother. He was a baby boy, so he died in 1994. And what he shared, he was born on that land. He said, and he finished from the DeSoto Color Training School at the time. He had a little high school diploma, which said he was able to teach school if he wanted to at the time before he came to New Orleans. What he told me was, at that time, that was black people's preoccupation, was to acquire their own land. And he told me in Mansfield, in the town, they used to call it Africa Town because a good part of the businesses, and it's like the early 1900s, a good part of the businesses were owned by blacks. Now, my point is, at some point, because he told me, he said that's what blacks worked for. They wanted to have their own so they don't have to be on white folks' place. And he shared with me the dichotomy between those blacks who were landowners and those who were not. For example, he said there were many times that blacks who got kicked off white people's place because if the white man wanted to have sex with the black man's wife, they had to leave or whatever, they would come stay on these black people's place for protection. But also there was an attitude to ridicule the black landowner because he didn't have the fancy tools and equipment like the white folk had on the land they live on. And what I'm looking at, I think, what you and the brother was talking about is there have always been an element of us that had been dependent, but the question that I'm going to leave you to debate is what happened to the element among our community that didn't care to integrate, wanted to have their own, because my uncle said on our place, the place that they had, none of the girls worked for white people. They didn't trust that. They all worked on the farm. Yeah, and there are lots of stories like this I hear among black people. And mm-hmm. so what happened to that spirit of wanting to be with your own community, creating your own schools and establishing your churches, mm-hmm. what black folk had to do? And mm-hmm. I don't see that type of spirit among us anymore.
And I think my take on that is that we've been hoodwinked, as Malcolm said, we were bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
I mean, we under the disguise of, see, black folks never asked for integration.
Exactly.
We wanted equality.
Exactly.
Because we knew that white folks were never going to be fair. We knew that.
Exactly.
White folks
yep.
said this. They knew this. They said, well, we're not going to be equal with y'all. But they had a big agenda that we, a lot of black people, did not see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they still can't see it.
Well, and some saw it, though. But they said, well, what we're going to do, black folks, is we're going to do integration. And what mm-hmm. we didn't see was we had Black Wall Street. We had
yeah.
other black communities. We had
yeah.
other black total cities. And
yeah.
white folks saw a bigger picture that these black folks were starting to grow economically.
Mm-hmm.
Do something to break, because I don't care what somebody says or what they do. If you don't have a dollar in your pocket, then ain't too much you'll be able to do.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Talks and everything else walk. So
mm-hmm.
what we will do is we're going to tell them the best thing that we can do is we can integrate the races.
Mm-hmm.
That way you folk get equal education.
Mm-hmm.
They have some black people that wanted to say, okay, we want to eat at y'all restaurant. Even though you don't want me there, even though you can't stand
right.
me, I trust you to fix my food. I ain't
right.
worried about you going to spit in it, but
yes,
we want to eat there.
That's
so
right.
Right into their hands and said, we're going to push for integration in all public society. Well, what happened? Miss Bessie down the corner who used to serve everybody because they couldn't eat the white restaurant, our blacks start getting sucked in to going to the white restaurants because now,
mm-hmm.
because they ice it just a little bit colder.
Yep.
And
yep.
so we go over there to Sally Sue's restaurant instead of Miss Bessie, who's been fixing for us for years. Instead of going to Roy's motel and rooming house, now we're going to the white hotel when they let us in a couple of rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And to the corner grocery store. Now we're bypassing going to the white grocery store instead
yep.
of going to the black doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The white man now started seeing, so now we're going to the white doctor.
Yeah.
And what happens, black man, black woman, when you start leaving your own because you wanted to integrate society because you played into the hands of the government,
mm-hmm.
and your people went out of business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
yep.
even you start going to the white mechanic. You start
mm-hmm.
going to the white plumber. Hell, you even switch that way and don't even let the black man cut your grass no more.
You
go
you know
to the white
scary?
Man and you let them cut your grass.
Yeah.
You know what's scary, sir?
Huh?
There are two other fronts that are being taken away now in this education reform
mm-hmm.
that's taking place throughout the country. Black
mm-hmm.
teachers are being literally pushed away.
Exactly. Let me ask you something. You are in New Orleans, since you're
yeah.
talking on that subject. How are the charter schools are actually doing in New Orleans? Because we know New Orleans was the first one where they just took. What is the whole consensus on that? Tell
All right, let me tell you the landscape that's taking place educationally.
Okay.
There are no more community schools. That means that people, kids are getting up 5 o'clock in the morning, waiting at bus stops in the dark, being bused all over the different parts of the city.
Okay.
Number two, if your child is a special needs child, special
okay.
ed or whatever, the charter
uh-huh.
schools are not picking them.
What?
Okay. That's right. That's a big issue here. The charter schools are cherry picking the students they want in to make their results look good.
Ah.
That's what we said was going
to
happen.
That's what we need to hear.
All
that's
right.
exactly what
the,
we need to hear.
The third thing you should know that after Katrina, the legislature passed a legislation to pretty much fire all the teachers in New Orleans. So all your veterans, about 3,000 teachers were fired. Not to mention cafeteria workers and stuff. Yeah, there's a lawsuit still pending. So what happened was, after Katrina, when they started to reopen the schools in approximately the spring of 2006, because the state initially came over in New Orleans and took over the so-called failing schools. See how that went on?
Yes, yes.
After Katrina.
Yes,
so
you know what you're talking about.
So the teachers were immediately being recruited from across the country. You mm-hmm. have some schools that the teacher population, now all these kids are black in these schools, by the way. These are not in community
uh-huh.
schools at all, by no means. The top performing school, Benjamin Franklin High School in New Orleans, that was always high performing, was one of the first ones to get a charter. And
what?
charter schools weren't designed for the so-called good schools. All right. So you have schools where black teachers, maybe two or three black teachers at a school where all the kids are black. In New Orleans, that's 68% black. So the charter school propaganda is just that propaganda. There is no better performance. Money is big. You don't know what's happening with them because, see, there's no board per se.
Yeah.
Even though certain type of charters are supposed to be overseen,
mm-hmm.
nobody is asking any questions. So my point is, the first thing it did was a blow to black teachers.
A blow
okay.
to black teachers.
That's right. It's happening, by the way, in Detroit, Chicago. The teachers got wiped out big time in Chicago. The black teachers
mm-hmm.
in Chicago got wiped out big time. People don't know about that. There's a big struggle going on in Chicago with
mm-hmm.
the takeover and the closing of schools. And I'm
uh-huh.
going to add this in New Orleans also. New Orleans had a tradition. You know, you have segregated schools here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad, because I went to an all-boy black Catholic high school. My mom and dad went to segregated high school. My mom went to George Washington Carver. My dad went to Booker T. Washington High School. Talk about their schools today like they were college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
They have pretty much eliminated all black name high schools, with
mm-hmm.
the exception of maybe one.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if there was a revenge against schools named after African American people
mm-hmm.
here. There. So it is a mess. It is being promoted like it's the best thing in the world, but I could tell you it is a horror story.
Okay, just one second. Let me get this other person just called in. Just one second here. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I was listening for a while. My name is Justin.
Oh, give me your
I'm
name.
From Virginia. Justin Parker.
Okay, Mr.
Yes.
Parker, I saw you. I'm sorry. I just happened to look in the chat room. I wasn't ignoring
you.
You I just so happened looked over there and saw your name.
Yeah, you fine.
So how
fine.
Would you want to weigh in on this conversation?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm not qualified to speak on certain particulars. I'm still on a long quest for education. I'm 37, but I just recently fully awakened to what's really going on, and you know, certain events that have happened in my life have kind of lit the fire beneath me to go ahead and live the rest of my life trying to help other people. Now, of course, I'm going to start first at home, and like the other gentleman was speaking about, my extension of my home, which is my black community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I do know and what I am qualified to speak on is business, because
mm-hmm.
That's what my family's been into and what I've been into for some time now. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, my all of the life experiences that I've had and things that have happened around me and, you know, it's not going to teach you what books teach you. Books
mm-hmm.
are limited in what they teach you because they're only the imagination of the writers that put them together.
Exactly.
You know, or facts, but facts change, and we always scratch deeper in science and other things, you know. But my life experiences in business has told me that if we're going to live in a cash society and
mm-hmm.
in America, if they're going to put that God on that dollar, well, then
yeah.
we need to be master that God.
You
know, because we know and understand the real God, and it ain't the one that's on that dollar.
Exactly.
So,
right.
That's what it's all about. The rhetoric about, you know, history and all of that, I'm going to leave that for those qualified to speak on those,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I just wanted to listen to what you guys was talking about.
Justin, let me add something to what you were saying, because I, too, am a person that has basically been in business all my life, coming in business under my parents since 1979. I was in junior high school and been there ever since. When we speak of business, we have, and the our community has to have a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give an example, here in the area that Salida and I live in, which is a twin city, Alexandria, Pineville, Louisiana, it's very, very difficult for a
yeah.
black-owned business
mm-hmm.
to do business with the city.
Mm-hmm.
They have their program they call an AFEET program, which is supposed to help women and disadvantaged businesses. Well, these disadvantaged businesses that they claim that they do business with is very little. They have a, $25 million budget, and I would say less than 1% of that goes to black business. They would tell you it's 10%, but when you add it up, you're going to find it's women, white women. And the businesses that cannot that don't connect with doing programs with the city, they're dependent upon the black community, have such a hard time because our people are not educated in supporting their own. And I'll
mm-hmm.
give you a prime example. We were speaking of beauty supplies earlier that the, I think, who was it, the Koreans took over?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right, right.
Family started the first black-owned beauty supply here in Alexandria. We were the first black-owned family to go into the mall. We had four locations, including Mississippi.
Wow.
And we were the only source for education of black hair.
Yep.
We went for years doing that. We traveled all over selling beauty supplies, one of the biggest in the area. One time it was so big, we even got a whole 18-wheeler load of one company. Now, what happened? The Vietnamese got smart, and they put that pool of money together. You couldn't get the black manufacturers to come together as all other ethnic groups do. They went to the highest bidder. And what happened was when the Vietnamese finally found out there was money in this city like they have every other city, they came in, and ordinarily our people said, oh, they cheaper. Well, my father was worked away. He said, hold on a minute. He would send my sister and I over to the other stores. Yeah, to spy. He sure would. Go see what their prices are. Let's make sure. We're going to make sure. I don't care if I'm just a nickel lower. We're going to be lower. I followed one lady over there who left out and actually saw her pay 10 cents higher for the same product.
Mm.
We have this mentality that we don't support our own. I was in a meeting this evening. We're talking about buying T-shirts or what have you. And it's not first and foremost, I'm the only one that's saying we need to buy from black T-shirt shop. We need to use a black lawyer. We need to use this black and that. And everybody looking at me like, you know, why are you all? It's almost like they're not saying it, but it's like, why are you
bringing
a black?
He's all over their face.
Every face in there is black, and then you be wondering why somebody's bringing a black. But we have to break this, and I don't care what to say, it's a self-hate mentality.
Yes.
Because I watched the Vietnamese, these were the Koreans.
Koreans.
No, Chinese, I'm sorry. The Chinese here in town, they were remodeling a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who they used to remodel their restaurant? Chinese people. But guess what? We don't have any Chinese contractors here. But on the side of that truck, you know what? It said New York City. They drove from New York all the way to Pineville, Louisiana, to remodel one of their brothers' shop. They wasn't going to hire outside.
That's right.
But what do we do? We won't even wait one day on 1 hour. Oh, he doesn't have everything that it takes, and we'll go hire somebody else in a heartbeat. So I say until we take that kind of mentality. When I saw that truck said New York, and we don't even have Chinese contractors in this area, I said, hey, man, they came from, all the way from New York? Not Houston, not Atlanta. I'm talking New York. That's a long ways away from Pineville, Louisiana. But it just shows
this is why I said whatever we do, from now on, when we're going to have to lay down a body of rules, an ethical code of conduct. Because, see, what we don't understand is that these other people have rules that govern themselves.
Exactly, exactly.
So that contractor that you saw from New York, that's part of the rules.
Yeah.
And I think we don't understand this, and I think what contributes to this, too, by the way, is our sense of what it means to exercise freedom. So, in other words, if you're telling me I got to spend my money with you, well, then you deprive me of my freedom. And so we have a warped idea of what freedom is.
Yeah.
I have a request.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm the owner. I'm the owner and founder of FirstBlackAmerica.com. And I open my doors. I'm completely open-handed. I'll tell you anything that you want to know about my life experiences and my life. I have nothing to hide. I forgive myself. I forgive our forefathers. I forgive my parents. I forgive you guys. I forgive everybody because I understand y'all. I understand everybody. You know, I've talked with white supremacists, neo-Nazi skinheads, Black Panther, New Black Panther, you know, judges, lawyers, rapists, killers. I've talked with all kinds of people. And... The truth of the matter is this. Like I said before, we need to do the cooperative economics things, JAMA, call it what you want to call it. The point is we have to do it, like Nike, just do it. So I open my doors to you guys. You have passion.
Okay.
You're here talking. That means something. So I'm trying to put together a board. Initially, I wanted to put together a board of 36 members.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing is I want to create controversy because that creates awareness.
Exactly.
I need to find master rhetoricians, people skilled in the art of rhetoric, that can, that will be able to verbalize and dismantle any assault or any aggressive move against us.
What's the name of the, what's the site again?
FirstBlackAmerica.com. It's with an F.
Okay.
I'm, you know, right now it's just me and my girl.
Sometimes you got
to
start out like that, baby.
And the people I talk to, you know, yeah, absolutely. We're completely grassroots. This is only, you know, roughly about 3 months off the ground officially. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm going to try to get my 501(c) charter, you know, and I'm going to give them something small with youth and adult mentoring. We want to show the young children, you know, they're the leaders of the new school, you know, so we want to guide them a little bit of some of the old school, some of the real old school, you know. And we want to teach the adults how to teach the children. So
you know, it has to come to that. Oh, and by the way, to give you the ending of that story on that beauty supply, after 20-some-odd years in business, and not the only beauty supply, but only black-owned beauty supply, it's now closed. All doors are shut down. The Vietnamese are still running.
They're taking over. Yeah.
They're still running strong.
That's
we like to go in there so happy.
That's okay. The thing about that is with the, you know, the Asians definitely have dominated the hair care and especially the black hair care industry. However, that doesn't mean we can't take that back over. You know, let the Chinese people sell Chinese hair stuff. You know,
they
now,
don't have
much.
That's why they sell ours. Because they
made a good point. They don't sell, you don't see white folks flocking into them.
Nope.
You don't see they're going to go to their stores to buy. I remember when we had, and just show you an example, we had a store in the mall. Everybody goes to the mall. We were in the front entrance of the mall. When you go in the front entrance of the mall, we were the second store that you ran into. We had probably 30% of, well, I would say 30, maybe 25% of our store were white products. We even hired a white lady to work the store so we had us a face. But at less than 2% of our business, probably even one, was white, which showed that these people support their own. I didn't get mad at them.
No.
But the thing of it is that when you look at this, you're saying, well, we should incorporate everyone, but everybody doesn't
encompass us. It's fun on both sides. I can say, okay, that's fine. But why is it that here in Alexandria, Louisiana, we have to beg to push a black celebration, but there's just a norm to push white celebration? White folks won't come out to black celebration, but we flock to white celebration.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Yep.
It's the inferiority complex that we have and the seeking of validation from other people because we feel inferior.
Yeah.
And I think you said it, we're going to, until we address the way we are taught to think that works against us, I think that's the first thing that has to be addressed before we start to do anything.
You know, a lot of people talk about, and I would have to say, and I'm not pushing, I just got to call it for what it is. When Elijah Muhammad said what he said about the black man and the death, the mental death that the black family has suffered, he was telling nothing but the truth. You can't, I mean, nobody can dispute what he said and how to come out of this mentality that we got. It's a mental dead state that has to be resurrected. I mean, it's just plain and simple. We see it every day. When you see someone pass up their brother's store just to go into someone else's store who's not going to spend money with them, he's not going to
put it in the community.
Their children go to college, and then their children going to come up, and he's going to be begging them to let him go sweep up the trash off their parking lot. It's just a sick mentality.
We must overcome,
and one of the ways to start is we have to start talking about, like Brother said, we got to get radical about it. They want to use the word radical. I'm fine with being radical.
Yeah.
I love.
That's what they want to call us.
That's it.
Because we want to speak up for ourselves. Now we're radical.
You're radical. When you speak up, or you're militant. When you speak for yourself, and you know, that's just like if my children, if I defend my child, are they going to say, oh, he's radical, he's defending his child? No, but if I'm defending my people, oh, he's a radical. Well, call me what you want. I call it taking care of home. That's what I call taking care of home. If that's called being radical or militant, then so be it.
But you know, I agree with you. I agree with 100%, but I don't think our problem would be with the people who call us radical. We're going to have to deal with the people we seek to save.
No, don't.
Are we going to understand what it means when we say our dollars must, you know, must flow within our own community? I think that is a foreign concept to us in terms of a thought.
No, our problem is not with the people that call us radical. It's the mindset of our people who listen to the people that call us radical.
Exactly.
We want to be acceptable among the white
everybody
group. So when they say something is wrong with Brian, because he's a radical or a militant, then my other fellow brothers, black sisters, black, they back up from me because they want to be accepted by Mr. Charlie. They want to be able to, well, I have white friends and I don't want them to look so down at me. You know what I mean? I mean, they're more worried about how white people look at them. We have them right here, and I know every city has them. We have blacks that will come to you on the side and say, more power to you, brother. But as soon as you turn around and a white event comes up, they're putting their money into a white event. But they don't put their money into a black event. I'm talking about blacks who are making money.
Yeah.
But they steady supporting white events. And I use this, and I know we're jumping, I'll say business event. But to me, a black business, black event is the same thing. You're supporting something in your family. But if you support an event or a business that is not of your own, now if you don't have one of your own, then that's another thing. But if you don't, and some people say, well, I don't have to drive out of the way to go there. Well, drive out of the way. Everybody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
If your child had a store and sold candy, and there was a candy store right next door to you, but your child's candy store was 10 miles away from you. Are you going to go next door and buy the candy from them, or are you going to drive 10 miles to your own child's store? That's the analogy I like to use.
Right.
If you're going to tell me you're going to go next door instead of buying from your own child, then you're really sick. black community is your child, is your brother, is your sister. You should drive that extra 10 miles. You should pay that extra dollar. It's not going to kill you because you blow that extra dollar on stuff that you don't need anyway.
But here's the thing. When all the elders that I've talked to, they all kind of say the same thing in some form or fashion is they'll get on board when they see something happen.
Yes, that's that mentality. That's you're so,
so
right.
So if that happens,
if we don't come on board together as a group,
you have to have a group.
The reason why I started First Black America and the Black Owned Business Directory is because every time I tried to support my Black Owned businesses in my local community, and I went to all the sites that I could find and the few businesses that I found around here, listen, I started calling and talking with them. You know, a lot of wrong numbers, about 60%. You know, a lot of these businesses went out of business or either they moved and they didn't bother to update their information. My website is getting I got little buttons on the bottom of my website where you can see our traffic, and you can see the people and what they're searching for. Mm-hmm. And this is only something, my particular website, it's only tracking the statistics of my particular website or our website. But, you know, the thing is that this is only two, three months open, and I'm not even promoting. I mean, I'm on Facebook doing that little thing there, you know what I'm saying? And Facebook is not a little thing, actually, but I don't have the money to really blast out. If I did, you would hear First Black America on the TV, the radio. You would see it on billboards, on buses. You would see it wherever an advertiser would accept my money, mm-hmm. our money, then that's where you would see it. You know, and of mm-hmm. course I would seek out black-owned advertising revenues first, and that's what I'm doing now, of course. It's just that I'm grassroots. So mm-hmm. once businesses start getting listed, and the thing is I said $5 a month. Now, if they want something that's really exclusive and they don't want to be on the same page with a bunch of other businesses doing the same thing, okay, mm-hmm. cool, no problem. We can do something better for you, you know, but we'll do that for $10 or $15 or something, you know, mm-hmm. But not $100 and not $70, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because the money that's coming in, see, I have another business. I also own Majestic Tile. You know, I have a living. I'm a contractor. I earn my living in the world, and I love what I do, and, you know. But with First Black America, this wasn't about me. This mm-hmm. was about how Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and a few other organizations and a few people snatched what I had stood right and exact to build upon for myself and my family away from me. And I said, mm-hmm. you know what, because I come from the street. I bust guns, you know what I'm saying? And I've done all mm-hmm. kinds of things, and I'm not scared to talk about it. But I don't live like that anymore. But it has the same anger and aggression built up inside of me. And that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. And this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. You know, I pay $10 a month for my web hosting. I mm-hmm. do all the web stuff myself. That's why it doesn't look all that great because I'm learning.
But
however,
you're doing good because I do my own too. So don't you're talking to people who's been there, baby. You're talking to people who's been there.
No,
so
let me break in just for a second for those who may be listening to our broadcast. Let me give the number out so you guys, because I know we've been talking. The number is air code 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749 for anyone who would like to join in on the discussion on Say Your Piece. Go ahead.
You know, so my whole thing was when I made this happen, I was like, okay, it's bigger than me, so I'm going to need people that have passion and have vision and, you know, they know what's going on, their eyes are open, and they're ready to act upon things to make change. You know, when Obama got elected president, you know, it was like change. Oh, man, a black man is president. We did it. We knew it was going to happen. Some of us thought it wouldn't happen, but it did. And, it, you know, first of all, in politics, the president doesn't do a whole lot.
And see, people don't understand that. They don't get that concept. They don't understand. He don't have a lot of power. Yeah.
Right. There's an unseen hand. And this unseen hand, it so happens not to be a white hand. It's a black, brown, yellow, and a white hand. But that's what's really going on. And I don't even care about that because that's what's happening. That's the world I was born into. But we're on a change path, and it's volatile. It could go very good very quickly, and it can go very bad very quickly. This is a reality, and this is what the oppressors are afraid of. You know, they're afraid of the riots in the street. You know, a lot of people want to see a lot of humanity gone off the earth because they think it's too many people.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is not. We're God's greatest creation. We make computers. Why is there a hungry kid on the street of Chicago?
Yeah.
We send photo cameras out in space to take a picture of Saturn, and Earth is in the background looking like a star. We did that, but there's hungry people, and we're using oil? Oil for what? You know, we are awesome. But here's the thing. The truth of the matter is this. We have black astrophysicists. We have black scientists. We have black doctors. We have black everything. We need to unify what's here, not talk about let's make it happen. Let's put together what's already here.
Oh,
all right, on my website, I have blackrefer.com. I have, you know, anything. I try to do reciprocals. I don't have a lot of money to pay, and a lot of these companies want a whole lot of money that, you know, if I had it, I would pay it because I believe as a contractor and as a businessman, you pay people what they want. You don't let them gouge you. But if they have a service and a reputation to back up what they're claiming that they want, give it to them if you got it. If not, then that's what free commerce is all about, free trade. Try to find somebody else.
Let me add this. Brother talked about we have astrophysicists. I think the key here now is not what we have, but who loves black people.
Yes.
I look at some of these black college presidents, and I look at the president of Tuskegee University and his credentials. He happens to be from New Orleans. You know, but if you don't love black people, your talent, your skill means nothing. And I think
right.
This is what we have. We have so many black people who have done everything in every field, excelled in every field. But if the ultimate end is to be a part of another group of people's world and to be rewarded by them, then that does nothing for our demographic. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
That doesn't help because then that talent then would not be used. But I still want to hammer this down. I still think the issue when we try to come together as a group, in groups, and where it falls apart is because we have not understood the importance of laying down ground rules on how to move around each other. So let's take, for example, the four of us on the line now. We're trying to do something, okay? And if we don't have an established culture among ourselves in how we're going to do it, ultimately our flaws that we bring to the table will destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about
Carter G. Woodson said the famous quote, you know, when you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions, so on and so forth. And I think this is where we are. And I think even with good intention, many of us may have, those socialized failings that we talk about we have as a group will raise its ugly head in the organization process unless we bring under control with some rules, and then we'll be back to square one.
Well,
you're
I agree with you 100%. I think the first rule should be to keep religion as what it is, a personal thing to the individual. We should keep politics out of play and let it come down time to vote, and then we can talk about who we may vote for and why we're voting for them. I can't vote. I lost those rights when I was 16. I got tried as an adult and sent to prison, so I got to get mine restored, and it's going to take a little while. And some money, I believe. But, you know, that's – I have bigger fish to fry right now. My concept in this whole thing is this. I do need to open the board up for other people to join. And the reason why I chose the name was, like I said, to raise eyebrows and to cause controversy because that brings attention. And then once the attention is there, we can have the qualified people with the right and exact information to educate those. The ones who talk about this and that and hating on this and blah, blah, well, we don't even care about that. That we must understand that first and foremost is that we don't care what anybody says or thinks about what we're doing. We do care about getting shot, so let's be careful about what we talk about. Now, the core concept is this. We need money in a cash society, so let's get it. 100,000 black-owned businesses listed on our directory could happen in the next 2 months with the right advertising, with the right word of mouth, with people talking and vibrating and sharing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to get businesses listed. You know, we could do a campaign and say, okay, let's not think about this immediate thing happening real quick. Let's think about 6 months. Well, let's offer free business listings for the next 6 months. And then after that, we ask them for $5 a month. So 100,000 black-owned businesses paying $5 a month is $500,000 a month. Now, we're not nonprofits, so we got to pay taxes on that. But still, you know, that's a lot of money. So we were talking about black-owned hair care stores. Let's go ahead and open up five of them. Let's pick five cities and do it. You know, and then we'll find some people around there, and we'll make them sponsors of First Black America. So when they're living their normal everyday life, they can spread the word and get other black-owned businesses in those communities to visit the website and sign up. You know, and but once it's all over TV, billboards, and the radio, people are going to sign up. And once we have some money to get some people to revamp this website and make it look pretty, you know, it'll better represent our clients and ourselves. You know, so that's what I'm doing. And I'm saying, I'm not trying to talk about this. I'm trying to do it. So I, as Justin Parker, owner of First Black America, open the doors up to all four of you. How many listeners do we have? Four talkers?
We're four. It's four of us now.
So,
now,
yeah,
I was going to say something to you, Mr. Justin, since you said that. I have a radio show. I have this one, and I have another one, and me and Brian co-host one on another. I'm on FM. He's on AM, but we co-host a show together. We co-host this one together, and then I have my own individual. What we could do is you're on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is it under Justin Parker?
Yes. I have a page as well. It's First Black America.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll go on your page and I'll friend you, and we can work something out, because I'll do commercials. I'll advertise with you, and you advertise with me. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Well, well, the bigger thing is that this board of members that I want to put together, we want to put them on a salary, and once there's enough revenue coming in, I was thinking of something like, all of the board members would get something like maybe $30,000 a year, you know, because it takes time to put focus. And all I was really thinking of is trying to get each individual member of the board to invest maybe 2 hours a day or 10 hours a week or something, you know. And we sit down and come up with ideas and strategies on what we're going to do. Because we can't sit around talking about things that happen. Manna is not going to fall from the sky. You know, there's only two types of people
in
the world.
Well, the problem is, we sit down and talk. But my thing is, you have to have the knowledge of what you're doing. I can't just say I'm going to do something until I learn and do my research to know that I can do it. Because a lot of things people are not gifted in. Some things people are, some people are not. So I need to pick and choose on what I can get involved in, because for one thing, I know I'm going to do my research before I put my name on anything. I learned a long time ago, doing my little entrepreneur hustle on the side, how to make sure to learn not to put your name on something. You can't be committed to it and you don't understand what you're doing. So I have to know that. I have to do my research. I have to know what I'm doing. I have to break it down in my mind to see if it's relevant enough for me to do. Not to say that I wouldn't do it. But I'm just saying, because I find myself, I get so caught up in the moment and I get myself overwhelmed and involved in stuff, and I shouldn't, but I do that. That's exactly what happens to me. So
let me share with you two, and Alexandra, I don't know if you're familiar with a black-owned radio station here in New Orleans, WBOK. It's a radio station on the AM dial, but they have live streaming. It's WBOK 1230AM.com, and it's a talk format. So from Mondays to Fridays, you have a talk format. Now, on Thursdays, they call it Small Business Thursdays. And what happens is, in the morning from approximately 8:30 to 10, the program director named Gerard Stevens, he allows anyone to call in or come to. He may go to a black-owned McDonald's, right, in the morning. So anybody who owns a small business is allowed to come in and share with people about their business, and you can call in. And it's also done again in the afternoon from approximately 3 to 6. It's called Small. That's every Thursday.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
I had a radio show
from January 2009 to July 2009 on that station. Actually, I had a chance to, there's a guy named Tony Brown there.
Yes.
He called in on my show to give me update about the young man they said that had hung himself or something like that.
Yes.
And I had heard about that, and I have a cousin who lives in Pineville. So I called her to ask about that, and she said, I tell you what, she said, the best person you can talk to is Tony Brown, and he actually called my show to give the public on, now I was on WBOK, some update about really what was behind that. And so since you guys in Alexandria and Pineville, it would be good for you to know about this station. This station, traditionally, it was a gospel station. It was always black-owned, but traditionally it was a gospel station.
Uh-huh.
And about 4 years ago, a Danny Bakewell, he's a big businessman in Los Angeles. He's originally from New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
He purchased the station and as a gift to the community to have a voice against the things that were happening here in New Orleans. And so it's a talk
man.
Format.
Oh,
and people,
man.
And yeah, like I said, they have live streaming. It's WBOK1230AM.com.
We got it.
The program director who does the morning show name is Gerard Stevens.
Okay.
And you could call him. Maybe you could be a guest to talk about your business or something.
Absolutely.
Particularly on Small Business Thursday, they allow that in the morning and in the afternoon.
That is awesome. That is an awesome idea.
Yeah. So that's a good.
Man.
You know so much.
Something go ahead,
else, Brian. While we're speaking on that, I would encourage everyone who's listening to start, if you do nothing but pick up your black-owned newspapers throughout the
country. Yes.
There's so much information.
Listen,
if you pick up your daily, you're not going to see what, and you're not picking up your weekly papers, and some of them are bi-weekly, and some are very few, but some are daily. But if you don't pick up these black-run, black-owned publications, you guys don't know how much they are the backbone of the black community.
Because
they're all
right
over the United
Talk
States.
Talk about your dad's paper.
Yeah, I mean, we have one here. My parents own one that next year will be 50 years old. Louisiana has a multitude of them.
The Louisiana Weekly in New Orleans.
Weekly,
okay.
No. My father is the president of the Louisiana Black Press Association and also a member of NNPA, the National Newspaper Publishers Association, they're based, I think, out of D.C. But these newspapers throughout the United States, folks, have so much to offer, and they need business. They didn't get the stimulus money that the white newspapers got. They were struggling before the recession came about, and they're still struggling after the day they call it. We're still in one, but they're still struggling. And there's so many people that read them, but they have so limited advertisers because companies know they want our dollars, but they don't want to spend our dollars. I mean, I'll give you a prime example, and I won't hold it. Do you guys remember when Johnson had BET?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll remember all of the PSAs. That's free stuff, folks. When I say PSA, public service announcement, do you remember all the PSAs that station used to run all the time?
Yeah.
And then you turn around now, when white folks bought it out, they're bombarded with advertisement. The same station, same programming, but different owners. Now the advertisers are beating each other down trying to get space on it. They not spend money in black advertisers for the most part, especially smaller black advertisers. And so they're very dependent upon churches, depending upon small black businesses, and they're waiting on maybe, a federal government or somebody to advertise something some law to act to push in to make somebody advertise with them because white businesses will not advertise with them. We were told many days, the best package out there, but I'm not advertising, not interested in advertising to your audience, but they're taking our dollars. So it's up to us as black people to, if we don't have a business, we should at least pick up the papers, help them pick up the circulation, read the news. They have great news that are in them, but a lot of people just don't know. They're so used to picking up these white folks' paper, getting these lies, mm-hmm. and then not getting it straight. When I tell you that they a lot of these papers scrutinize real close what they put in the papers, and I think it's just a just if we would do it.
Well, now, Danny Bakewell, that owns WBOK, he
mm-hmm.
was the president. I don't know if he's still the president of the NNP. What is that, the NN?
And I have to commend him. Bakewell, is Bakewell, right?
Yeah, Danny Bakewell, right.
He stood up against Toyota, who lied to the black newspapers and told them after Toyota went through that big deal about the brake system and got that bad PR, the black newspapers came out and ran some good things on them. And they said, when we come through this, we're going to spend these millions and millions of dollars with you. Well, they turned around and backtracked and decided they wasn't going to do it, and we're going to just spend a couple of dollars with you. He stood up and told them, we're not going to take those couple of dollars. We're going to turn around. We're going to do a campaign and tell the people what you're all about. And because he stood strong, he's there to force Toyota's hand on advertising. I always
right.
remember my father kept me abreast on that, he stood up for all of the black papers in the United States as part of NNPA. And
he
to be commended on that.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Well, let me ask you, sir, in Alexandria, you was born and raised in Alexandria?
Yeah, I've been here all my life.
Because I didn't know, but they told me I had a cousin who was a dentist in Alexandria, and there's some families called the Breeder family and the Milos, or some relatives of mine there in Alexandria, the Breeder
mm-hmm.
family.
I know of the Milos, but not the Breeders. I know the Milos.
Well, Breeder, B-R-E-E-D-A, because somebody was a principal
okay.
or something.
I'd have to check on that one.
Okay, Breeder, yeah.
I know the Milos. I know some Milos.
Yeah.
We all, of course, you know, we're all over.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Parker, you were saying something
yeah.
about a black newspaper, too.
Well, yeah, I was just going to, you know, add on to the story of black-owned newspapers and readership. And an interesting article that I came across was from the Messenger from Hampton Roads. There's another one, too, called the New Journal and Guide. But in the Messenger, there was an article about a gentleman by the name of Ulysses Turner, who just so happens to sit on the board of directors for Town Bank, which is a pretty big bank around here. But he's in his, I don't know how old he is, but I guess he's in his 70s. And as I was reading the article, I looked at his last name, and I was like, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised, if he was related to Nat Turner. And lo and behold, in the article, that's what they speak about. But he owns property. I mean, he owns land and has neighborhoods on property. He's been in business for, 50-something years. You know, so I said, okay, I called him. You know, I got in touch with him. I sent an email to the office and got his cell phone number, and I spoke with him. You know, and he's like you guys. You know, he wants to make sure everything is right and exact. And, you know, he has a whole network. He's on his way out of here in life. And he's been doing this his whole life. And his great-great-great-grandfather or whatever was Nat Turner. So, you know, that's somebody that I wanted to try to get a little tutelage from. You know, show me a little bit, because the worst thing I can do is run out of here half-cocked and take a great idea and a concept that was before me, and they all fizzled and not really doing a whole lot, in my opinion. But I don't want this thing to get crushed before it starts. You know, and who better to ask for tutelage than somebody with millions and millions of dollars and somebody that's been doing exactly what I want to do and contribute into his whole life. And that kind of, you know, that made me feel really good. But the reason I found that was because my girl was in the doctor's office and she just so happened to look down and see two black newspapers and she brought them home for me.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Man.
So,
that's a prime example of that. We need to, and sometimes we just need to take a couple of minutes. If you do no more when you have those, pick them up and say, hey, you know, where are some of your outlets? They're not going to be as visible as the big ones, big boys that have the thousands of dollars to spend on so many outlets, and some outlets not going to take them in. We just spend a couple of minutes finding out where we can get them from and just take advantage of them. We would have a whole new world open up for us mentally.
Guys, my phone is going low. I shall continue to listen.
Yeah, because we're almost running out of time.
What's your Deja come on here?
Would I come on here? I come here every Saturday at 10 o'clock, every Saturday.
Okay.
So I would love for you guys to call back again, really. I would love to, because this is what I'm talking about.
I shall continue to listen. Enjoy the conversation.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
God bless.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Parker?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Now, I'm looking on your page now. You have a phone number on there that we could call?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It's if you go to the Contact Us page, or the phone number is throughout the site.
Yeah, it's 767
It's a pretty big encumbrance. It's a 757-701-2812.
Okay. I'm sending you a message right now to that page so you'll know who I am. And we can keep in contact, because I think it's an awesome idea what you got, and it's about connecting. And see, we also have a page. It's called KYT DJs and Friends. I want to get you to be able to advertise on that page on Facebook, because we're getting connects all over the place. And see, my little idea that I did, my show is called Lily's Author Showcase. What I do is I promote reading, because, you know, black folks don't like to read. You put it in the book, we ain't going to touch it. We'll never know it. Well, my thing was to promote reading. And I just put this in my head, and I said, you know what, I know I'm going to have to pay for my airtime. So what I did was I had one of the producers there teach me how to work the board. So I worked there for a little bit so that if I don't need my producer anymore, I know how to work the board. I know how to work my whole show. But I have her there. I hired her because I don't want to have that drama going on trying to work the board and do my show. Well, mm-hmm. I didn't expect for it to be where it's at now. And it's only been, I only went to an hour, January. And my whole thing is I promote authors. I have talked to authors in Afghanistan. I got one to come in from Scotland. I mean, all over the place. Because my job is, since I am an author, why not promote other people's stuff? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this platform it's awesome. We have a ball, okay? We literally have a ball on my show.
It's not the same old type boring show we see on TV.
Exactly.
Okay.
We have a good time. And then Brian asked me, which I thank you so much, Brian. He asked me, and a Dr. Bowles is another female, to co-host his show that comes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we wasn't expecting what we're getting. You know, people are really liking, because this is the kind of conversations we have on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Brian was telling me that someone said they had something. Why are y'all talking negative? But you can't. You can't keep sweeping the dirt up under the rug. Eventually, that rug has to be pulled back and that dirt has to come up. You got to.
Right.
So once you get that dirt up and you clean the rug, then it's easy for everybody to walk on. But we don't want to do that. We as African Americans don't want to hear all that. You know, we don't want to hear that. Get rid of all that. We don't want to go. We're satisfied in our comfort zone, you know.
Yep.
We don't want
yep.
nobody, you know, to tell us what we're doing wrong and how to fix it. But you're wondering why you're on the bottom of everybody's statistics, on the bottom of their totem poles, all over the place.
You
wonder,
you know what?
Why.
I always like the template of asking questions. And you have a series of questions. Are you suffering from this? Are you doing this? And
yes,
you know,
yes.
Come up with a whole line of concepts for those and pass them out and distribute them through the neighborhood. So you call yourself what it is. You see your life for what it is. And you look around you and you look at the other people that came from the same streets as you did, and they advanced and they learned and they changed their whole cognitive structure and they became something else. You know, it's not to say you forget where you come from. No, I don't forget where I come from. How can I? That's my whole cognitive structuring that made me who I am today. The thing is that, you know, a lot of people have tried to do a little bit. They said, you know, they woke up one day and said, you know what, I'm going to try to do something. And they received so much adversity that they were like, oh, to hell with it. You know?
And I think you're right. You're so right. You are so right because of our ignorance. We do that. You are so right about that. We work hard to try to do something that's going to make a difference, and then you get all these people shooting you down at every avenue you go. We know that for sure, don't we, Brian?
Oh, yes, we do.
Ideals that come. We got about five minutes to go. But you have all these people coming to you, oh, no, y'all shouldn't be doing this and y'all shouldn't be doing that. Oh, boy, y'all riling up some people. You're getting up people all upset. Well, that's the point. That
exactly.
is the point to think. Use your head.
I'm going to just say this, and I just want to close out with this. It's my little personal insight on the laws of the universe. Everything in existence moves, both physical and metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop moving, you die.
Yep.
Don't stop moving.
Like that. I like that.
Exactly.
I love.
I mean, that's the core principles to the universe. Everything has a vibration. What we're doing right now, we're vibrating. Some
mm-hmm.
of us have been vibrating a little longer than others. You know, some vibrate a little louder. It doesn't matter. We all have our own frequencies, and we all project them out. We all have antennas to receive them. So these
yep.
are the sciences and the principles in which we must build and get back, because these are ancient ways of lives. This
yeah.
technology that we thought that we were all good in creating, which we were because we got some awesome things, but, you know, we lost the ideal of the connection with God. We turned the antennas off. We need to cut
yeah.
them back on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you all know everything.
You are so
There's
right.
nothing new under
you
the sun.
So right.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Yep. It just revolves, and like they say, history repeats itself.
That's right.
And go ahead.
Belita, I would just like to add, I know we got just a few minutes left on
about
the air.
We got 4 minutes.
Just like to let the listeners know that would love for them to check out a couple of groups on Facebook, actually three groups. One is World Black News and Discussions. I think there's a lot of great conversation that goes on there, a lot of great
yep.
information throughout the world that a lot of people are contributing to, and I'd like to
mm-hmm.
thank all those people that keep it going, because, I mean, it basically has a life of its own now. And Great Debate of the Races is another
yeah.
one. They kind of debate on some issues that come real close to issues in the race and out, and I think a lot of information is real good that goes on in there. And Salita, the name of the group that you have is Let Me Hear You
Holler. Yeah,
Hear You Holler.
Let Me Hear You Holler is another one. Yeah,
it's growing.
Okay.
Yeah, I see that.
Starting to grow and pick up, and people going to it. And those are just some outlets that I think we have outside of the radio that
yeah.
People want to get on. They don't necessarily
yeah.
want to talk, but they like to pop up.
Listen.
People, like to read on things. I think those groups are real important for us to be able to, you know, get information from.
Exactly, exactly.
Both have our own walls, Salita McCall and Brian K. Coleman, so you can definitely
yeah.
hit us both up personally on Facebook along with the
yeah.
group.
I told him to add us as friends, and
okay.
then also we can. He goes to those groups. He can put it, like, push his the firstblackamerica.com, he can push that.
Yeah.
Get some information
yep.
out there. I'm telling you, people read our blogs. I mean, people read our Facebook pages. Our groups,
yeah.
they're in there for a reason.
You
and
always get somebody
actually,
reading it, and you can
yeah.
also, those groups that you're part of, and always somebody's on that group will eventually put you in another group, and before you know it, you'll have so many arenas to push your
business.
America,
yep.
What is it, firstblackamerica.com?
Firstblackamerica.com.
Yeah.
You got to push that. You'll be, for, I know this show, I know it went to over, wow, I know over 20,000 people by the time I got through today, just through the groups that I'm a part of Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's like throwing mud on the wall. Some are going to stick, some are going to fall, but at least you want to go through the numbers. And that's
exactly.
Well, listen, so I am serious about, you know, inviting
connecting.
You guys to, yes, I'm serious.
Okay. That's awesome.
You know, I give you my whole background. I give you my social if you want. I don't care.
No.
If somebody wants to clone my identity, they can have fun with that. They'll probably,
you don't have
situation.
That to worry about with us. Hey, you guys, guess
yeah.
what?
But, you know.
I'm
definitely
running out of
would
time,
like to.
You guys.
Okay.
Yeah, it gave me 60 seconds.
Okay.
So,
and we want to remind everybody that next Saturday,
yes.
10 o'clock,
yeah.
and we'll be posting the subject later on, right, Salita?
Yes. And hopefully we
look forward to
10
o'clock to get some people
back.
On. We look to have some fun.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
and
yes. So, Mr. Parker, you need to listen in next week, too, okay?
Oh, yeah, right. I'll be there, definitely. Absolutely. Count me in.
All right. Then you guys have a nice night. And Brian, I'll call you back. But Mr. Parker, I sent you a message in Facebook for you to connect with us so that we can keep this going, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, then thanks. All right. And good
night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.